You're listening to the PCIM podcast, your podcast on power electronics.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 12th episode of the PCIM podcast, your power electronics podcast powered by PCIM. My name is Marco Jung. I am a professor for e-mobility and electrical infrastructure at the Bonn-Rhein-Sieg University of Applied Science at St. Augustine, as well as head of department converter and electrical drives at the Fraunhofer Institute for Energy Economics and Energy System Technology at Kassel. Both are located in Germany. Additionally, I'm the chairman of the IEEE joint IES-IAS PELS German chapter, IEEE PELS Region 8 Vice Chair Germany, and active member of several national and international communities and committees. And today our technical theme is Electric Flight for Individual Transport Concepts and Proposed Solution. And this I will discuss with Nina Sorokina and Wolfgang Blimetz-Rieder from the University of Bundeswehr Munich. Hello Nina and Wolfgang, how are you?
Hello Marco, you're fine. I'm fine at least. I'm eager to record the podcast and looking forward to it.
Great, thank you. Welcome on board.
Hello Marco, thank you for welcoming and for asking. I'm also fine and really excited to be here and to talk about our topic today.
Great. So today it's new for me because I have two people on the podcast for the first time. Nina and Wolfgang, you are both working on your PhD, but before we going into technical details of your specialized field, not only I, but also the listeners would be like to know a little bit more about you. What has your journey been like so far and what do you do in your free time?
My journey so far. I started my technical career with a classic job training as an electrician. After that, I was thinking that's not the end of the line and added a secondary school to join university afterwards. In university then I go full in and studied maths and physics in the Ludwig Maximilians University in Munich. Thereafter I got a job as a software engineer. I did classic software for desktop applications, but there I was missing the electrical part I was doing in my I started with, and also I'm very interested in technique at all. So I had the opportunity to join the Bundeswehr University in Munich, in the chair of electric energy supply. So I came here and now I have the opportunity to not only do my PhD, but also work in a project to bring electric aircraft to the next level. And about my free time, I like go hiking and climbing in the mountains. I have a trip planned to the Puente and I'm looking forward to it.
I have started my education in St. Petersburg and I have got my bachelor degree at Electrotechnical University of St. Petersburg. During my master degree, I have taken part in a double diploma program between my university and the Technical University in Ilmenau, Thuringen. As a result, I have got two master degrees and wanted to continue my education. So I have looked for a PhD student or research assistant position in Germany. As a result, I have found a job at the University of Bundeswehr München here and in our project elapsed. So I have just started to work here. At my free time, I like to read books and I'm also a big fan of dancing. On the weekend, I'm going climbing or bouldering.
Great, that sounds nice and like a good lifestyle. The electrification of aviation not only enables decarbonization, but also opens up a real alternative in the area of individual transport, let's say. Many international research projects are underway in this area, but the first products are also appearing on the market. What current developments are we seeing in the different flight classes? Can you give an insight in this?
So when we are talking about electrical aircraft, normally we are talking about ultralight aircraft, about maybe sailplanes or motorized sailplanes. And there we can see several models that are already available. So, for example, the biggest fair for such a class of aircraft takes place each year in Friedrichshafen, and you can see already that about two halls are full of different models of electrical planes, sailplanes, and maybe drones that are not only prototypes but are ready products. Currently, at about 250 projects of electrified planes are developed around the world.
To add to this maybe, Nina was talking about ultralight and glider class of aircrafts. So there, electric machines are already established, or at least they are the first products coming to the market and are available. The next higher class, the regional airliner, where we are talking around 50 passengers, has also development undergoing, with concepts or first prototypes in this class, and they can hit the market in about the next 10 years. So there's also electrification undergoing in this next higher level of aircrafts.
Mm-hmm. And in aviation in particular, reliability and fail-safe operation are paramount. In many applications, this issue is solved by redundancy in the drivetrain. In the podcast, I would like to focus on flight for everyone, so that means the ultralight class. What concepts are currently available and what we will see in the future?
Okay, so what currently is available, the battery is one fixed device. So there are many battery cells connected in a fixed topology, and you have one big plus and one big minus pole where you can draw your energy off the battery. Additionally, such a battery needs some battery management. So there's also on top of this a battery management system which can watch individual cells or parts of the battery and make it safe. So there's the battery on itself, and then there's on top the battery management which makes the battery safe as it is possible. So what we are researching on is another approach to make this more safe. What we are doing, we are bringing power electronics into the battery so that the battery cells are not fixed connected, but there are MOSFET switches in between of them. So in the easiest topology we are working on, you have the ability to switch each battery cell on and off. On this way you can adjust the battery voltage which the battery system provides. This way the battery management is also done in the system itself. So the battery management system is not on top of the battery, but it's included in the system. And with the possibilities to have switches and to regulate the battery, it's also possible to better predict the state of the battery. And this way it's easier to do the battery management, as you have much more degrees of freedom to interact with your battery system.
Wolfgang had said already that we put power electronics on our batteries, and actually we combine on one platform our power electronics, our battery management system, and also charging device. That gives us an opportunity to monitor the state of the batteries just during the whole flight, and even in times when our aircraft is just standing in a garage. Which means that if we see during our flight that some of our batteries have overcurrent or overvoltage, or maybe they have just too high temperature, with the help of our technology we are able to bypass them, which means we won't use these batteries anymore and they won't be dangerous for our aircraft. We still be able to get enough energy from another cells to land safe. And that is what we normally mean when we speak about reliability and fail safety side of our technology. Normally we have a fixed battery, as Wolfgang has said already, which means that we supply different lines of our motor, different phases from the one source, and in this source some of battery is failed, we won't be able anymore to use the whole source. So only one battery can lead to the fault in the whole drivetrain. In our case, we can supply different phases from motor from separate battery packs, and even if one phase of our motor won't be active anymore, it will be still possible to land, for example, only with two phase when we are speaking about three phase motor. In our project, actually, we are developing also a full phase motor, which means that when only one phase will be deactivated, actually, we will still be able to land really safe. Mm-hmm.
So you spoke in the direction of your project. As I understood, so it's a kind of a new topology, let's say, in the direction of multi-level. Can you go a little bit more in technical detail for the requirements of the Powertronic?
So actually, we're talking not only about multi-level, we're talking about modular system, which means that our battery pack has several modules. Each module has normally 12 cells, battery cells, that are connected in series, and different number of cells that are connected in parallel. So we are able to take maybe only two blocks if we want to get maximum voltage of 100 volt, and if we take more blocks, we will get voltage what we need. Normally we work with 400 volt. In our case, we don't use semiconductors that are designed for high voltages as it is normally used in AC-DC inverters. We use semiconductors, so MOSFETs for us, that are designed for low voltages at about 20, maybe 30 volts, because actually they are working only with battery voltage. So, and the battery voltage is about 4.2 volts only.
To add to this, as already said, we need low voltage MOSFETs, but at the same time we have a high current, so the current is about several hundred amperes. So the current project is made for 200 amperes, the peak. So we need MOSFETs which on the one hand have a really low voltage classification but combined with high current. And to add to this, we of course want a low RDS on, because on the one side, this is of course then the lost energy if we heat up the semiconductors. But on the other side is also the heat which is produced there, we need to go rid of. So we need a cooling system. If we produce less heat in the power electronics, we need less heating capability to cool the system. And yeah, so this special requirements for the power electronics, and we hope that if the multi-level system in general in vehicles will hit the market, then also that we get more specialized power electronics for this application.
It is also important, even if we found a component, an element of our power electronics that passed us in the best way, that has perfect characteristics, we should be sure that this component is suitable for high reliability applications, because safety is always on the first place when we are talking about aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We spoke now from hardware, software is used, and so the software is safety relevant. Which kind of standards are important and which kind of tool chain is useful?
Okay, so the standards relevant for this class of airship. Our project is making a CS23 class of airship. There also comes the standards, the DO178C in combination with DO331. One is for software development in aviation general, and the DU331 is an additional document for model-based software development. Model-based software development in general is highly applicated by the aviation industry in recent years. It's said to be faster and more reliable than the other approaches. This is adopted by the industry. And to talk about the toolchain used, or the toolchain, there's not the one single tool which can be applied, but there's always a whole bunch of tools. The software is developed according to the so-called V model. So on the one side of the V, you have the development of your software. On the other side of the V comes the testing of the software. So each step corresponds to each other. So high-level development is combined with high-level testing. The toolchain there, it's desired to have as many steps automated as possible, because for redundant tasks, it's easier to automate them, also to reduce the risk of failures. Because if a human with repetitive tasks, errors are more likely. So to avoid this, and also to speed up the process, automated tasks are desired. Talk about the toolchain itself. So there are lots of tools involved. There's Git involved for version control. There is Polarion for issue tracking. There's Jenkins for automated builds. There's Simulink, of course, for the development of the models. This also is mixed up with self-designed tools. There's Simpool and MRails, which are developed Technical University in Munich together with the University of the Bundeswehr in Munich. So there are a lot of tools, but as already said, there's not the one tool which can do all. And the most critical thing and the most crucial thing is to build up a toolchain where each tool interacts in a correct way with each other. And those toolchains are also the main intellectual property of the big aircraft companies, where they have the complete toolchain, they have the steps where they interact with each other to get things ready for the certification. So to build up this is one huge effort to make. And now I talked a lot about the software development in avionics in general. For our project, there's the task to develop the software for the battery system. Through all the hardware, the power electronics inside the battery, we gain a lot of opportunities to interact with the battery. And there is, we have a combined system. So we have a modular system. We have one central battery main controller, which then interacts with the battery modules, battery cell controllers. Yeah, the task is there to make all the communication inside the battery and not reintroduce another single point of failure. For example, the bus system. If this fails, all battery modules does not know of each other and are therefore almost out of operation. So it is a huge task to not reintroduce a new single point of failure in our modular system. And most of the effort goes into this task.
Okay, that sounds nice and really interesting. So, as I understand, you develop a prototype. And for me, the question is, which kind of technical readiness level the prototype will have? So, is it only a demonstration in the lab, or you will implement it in an aircraft demonstrator?
So originally our plan was really to get a real small airplane and to integrate our developed system in a real aircraft and to make all possible tests in a real aircraft, maybe also to fly with it. Unfortunately, we were not able to get a real plane. That's why our maximum is to make all tests in our laboratory on such a test bench, which is called Iron Bird. So we will install a fin-phase motor that was developed in our project, and we will supply it from our multi-level battery. But as I have said, it will be only lab tests, unfortunately.
That sounds interesting, and we are looking forward, let's say, the results. Hopefully you will write in paper or publication, and that we have a few insights more and more in the future. Thanks, Nina and Wolfgang.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you.
To all the listeners, wherever you might be, thank you very much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. If you would like to share your feedback with us, please do so via an email to pcim@misago.com. You can write to us also if there is a specific topic you would like to be covered in the future or if you have a particular guest on your mind. Until then, have a great time.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the PCIM podcast. Together, we'll excel in power electronics.